Hello, NDL. We are back. And I'm not going to give you the Sam Ellinger we're back thing from, what was that, 2018? But the NDL podcast is back. We have finally identified the issue we've been having with our audio. It only took us a few weeks, but Jason, we're back. How does it feel?
I feel like we should have the sounder from The Hangover. You don't know what I'm talking about, do
No,
you?
I don't. I have no idea.
We are back. We
Oh,
like
that's
we
right.
should have had that. I actually thought about it the other day and then completely forgot because my memory is shit. But yeah, it's been a long time. We've had lots of false starts, delay game penalties. I think we're on like first and 40 at this point with all the flags, but finally got some technical difficulties figured out and had schedules align and here we are.
Yeah, we're finally back. It's been a long time awaited. I will not make excuses. Obviously scheduling's part of it. Things come up, family stuff. Whatever. Excuses are like assholes, right? Everyone has them. So we'll move on, man. We have a lot of cool stuff to talk about, a lot of storylines this season. But where do we start, right? I think there's a couple places, and I think that's just kind of talking through maybe some of the biggest surprises to start season 31. Right now, we are two blocks completed with a third one in the midst. And Jason, I'll kind of start it with you to give us your biggest surprises, good or bad, to start season 31.
Well, I mean, it works out that we start with as always the Southeastern Conference, where it just means more. I think it's fitting that we start out with the biggest surprise and discuss what happened today along with it, because my biggest surprise was going to be Vanderbilt. Last night was sitting at 4-0, and then this morning sitting at 5-0 without a coach, and I was like, wait a minute, what the heck happened? Don't run up the score on your opponents, folks. 35-point rule and all that. But that was going to be my biggest surprise. And it's going to be interesting to see, whoever takes over Vandy, if they're a good coach, if they can continue that season. And it's while whoever takes over isn't going to have a shot at the playoffs, because you can't take over a team midseason and get that, they could cause some serious problems. On the flip side, I think looking down and seeing Missouri, Missouri's one of those teams that has, no matter who the owner's been, they've been good the first couple of seasons. That roster is stacked with some talent. To see them sitting at 1-3 was kind of surprising. And then I think the other one, Michigan, 1-4. That's a team that a lot of people want. There are quite a few Michigan fans in this league. And to see them sitting at 1-4 right now is a big shock, because Freak is a good coach. Can he get things turned around to where he can keep them? Because if not, this next draft is going to be very, very spicy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's my biggest one for sure. I mean, a lot of great points there, but biggest surprise is Michigan. They're going to really have to put something together here to save their season and save their team. I know he wants to keep them long term, and it's probably going to come down to banked points or rivalry wins. That is the thing, is that, if there's still some meat on the bone in terms of the rivalry schedule, which we know there is, and he just got a rivalry win against Minnesota, I think, which was a pretty big one. So if you get Ohio State and you win some of these other rivalry games, you still have a chance to keep your team. One thing that I have said in the past that I'm not going to say anymore is about Vanderbilt. I usually say, oh, well, that's unfortunate, right? But it's really not. Like, this is what, the third season, where we all know the rules. I'm not going to disparage or talk poorly about the guy, but there is just no excuse for that this far into the game that we're currently in. And so I usually go, oh, that's unfortunate because he was having a great season. It's like, no, he deserved it. Like, he needs to go. That just should not happen. And yeah, it would have been fun to see how the Vanderbilt season unfolded, but yeah. Sorry, there's just, at this point, I'm at a loss for words that it's even still happening. And it's not even like a brand new coach either. This is someone who's been around for two seasons. So.
And the excuses that were given, and let's take a couple minutes real quick to talk about this for anybody that missed. Vanderbilt was up 35 points on Alabama and was running the ball down the stretch and ran into the end zone. And they claimed, oh, well, you know, I wasn't trying to score. It was a draw play. My guy just stiff-armed some guys. Doesn't matter, you know. And his excuse, people were going, well, why didn't you just, you know, kneel it out or punt? And he goes, oh, my opponent had three timeouts. So what? You're up 35. Oh, my God. They might call timeouts and get the ball back and cut it to 28 points with, you know, 2 minutes to go. Look, yeah. If you're down, if you're up that much, punt the ball. This is what I do. I run up the middle. I don't call anything flashy. If they want to run commit, let them run commit. You know, if I get down to the 20, I kick the ball through the uprights with the punter. There's no points scored. They get the ball back. You don't mess around and drive down to the 5 and turn it over to where you might get a safety. You don't mess around and accidentally fall your way into the end zone. You know, give the ball back to your opponent. If they score on you, so what? Let them have some practice. Let them have something good to go off of. Nobody's going to sit here and dock you because you only won by 28 instead of 35. Don't break the damn rule.
Yeah, it's not like the CFP committee, which I don't believe has been chosen yet, but I don't believe the CFP committee is going to go back and say, well, you know, they gave a late touchdown there and only won 35-7. Like, no, yeah, right. That's not going to matter. The Massey ratings won't be heavily affected by that. But yeah, just I don't even really want to talk about it too much because I think we all, you know, obviously know it is what it is. But I do want to talk about it. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say one other surprise team too. I was looking over the standings and this kind of changed. SMU at 1-3 surprises the heck out of me because this is a guy that robbed me of my ACC championship game spot last year. I'm not salty at all.
Yep, not salty.
But has lost to Auburn. I think they're 2-4 on the season. Lost to Central Michigan. No shame there. Lost to TCU in a game that was very, very hotly contested. There's a spicy rivalry between those two coaches. And, you know, you look at their schedule. Still got to go to Louisville, which is also another surprise. Got to play Florida State, which right now doesn't have a coach. Got to play a Stanford team that's got a returning coach who made some noise last year. Got to play Cal. I mean, the schedule down the stretch is not an easy one to navigate. We could be looking at another team that is opened up in the draft next season.
Yeah, this season has been really hard for me to make sense of. You're seeing some teams that, you know, last season or even the season before were rolling and looking great. I mean, you know, I look at Georgia Tech and they were kind of a darling last year and now they're sitting at 0-4, you know, 0-3 in conference, which is going to be, you know, impossible really to come back from. Still a chance to salvage the season, make a bowl game and do a lot. But, you know, you just look at Miami, SMU, Georgia Tech, and I know I'm going through the ACC here, but I'm just trying to make sense of it because take a team from Minnesota has been raising some eyebrows lately. And then he drops one to an 0-4 Michigan team. So you just really never know, this late in the game, in this third season, what's going to happen. I think you're going to see a lot of parity this season. If I had to predict, and we've already seen a lot of it. You know, you mentioned Auburn started out hot, was turning some heads, and then, oh, shoot, conference play, 0-3. You know, the SEC is a gauntlet, and I know we'll get crap for talking too much about the SEC, as we always do. But I do want to talk about someone who is not very well liked in this league, and for reasons.
Pat?
Yeah, no, not him. He's number two, I guess. He's probably number two by a lot. But you can't help but see what Old Dominion's doing with Marion. Obviously, the drama last season, the suspensions, the move into the back of the draft. We won't get into all that. But, you know, is taking a team in the Sun Belt, 4-0, 3-0 in conference, really kind of rolling over everybody. He's always been a great, great player. I've always admired how he plays a game and how cerebral and how good he is. But you got to talk about it. I mean, the NDL Cup win at Oregon was an absolute masterclass, and that's a story I think a lot of people are looking at in terms of, one, is he going to be the team that cracks the playoff from the group of five? And two, with all the sanctions last season, deservedly so, is he going to use that as a chip on his shoulder to kind of make a run here?
Well, I take very quite a bit of pride in the fact that I'm 1-0 against him. I played him in a NDL Blitz game before the season, and granted, it was at like 5 in the morning his time, and he may have had a drink or two or five, who knows. But I got the win, so I'm going to take pride in that. But no, I mean, he's talked a lot of junk. He's backed it up. He's beating some teams that are much better than him, in terms of the roster, you know, to pick basically last in the draft and have one of the worst teams on paper in the league and do what he's done, you know, kudos to him. He's going to end up with a really good draft pick next year if he does everything he's supposed to, and we're going to be looking at a guy who's going to be challenging for a title potentially next season.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at all. Let's stick with that theme here. We don't really have an agenda. We're just going to bounce around, but looking at the group of five teams, you know, obviously he's in the mix here. You talked about Central Michigan a little bit, did just suffer a loss as of recent, but looking through the group of five teams, who do you like to come out of there? Or we won't predict, we won't say come out of there because we still got so much football to be played, but who are some teams on your radar down the stretch that you're going to be watching to potentially come out?
Well, I mean, we got to start with Marion's best friend, Pat, who is currently sitting at 5-1 with ECU. And ECU is a team that did some stuff last year. They've got, you know, they've got speed. And it doesn't matter if you got guys, I can tell you personally, having a linebacker at Utah that's rated like 85 overall, it doesn't matter if you don't have the speed. A 70 rated guy with high speed is better sometimes than an 85 rated guy without it. And he's got some playmakers on that team. Now, the knock on him right now is the fact that his opponents on the season are 8-29. So if he runs into some tougher competition down the stretch, which right now, you know, looking at the teams he's facing, I don't really know that he's going to. Will he be able to, one, stay as a one-loss team, and two, will his resume be good enough to impress the committee? That's, I mean, again, sitting at 5-1, that's the first one that springs to mind. Sam Houston State's in a similar spot, 3-0, but again, 9-25 opponent record. So is it really going to do anything? And then obviously Central Michigan, fired up, Chip's always going to be a contender. He's one of the better players in the league. Record's not the greatest, so it's another situation where he challenges himself, and I give him full props for it. He challenges himself with his schedule. He didn't go as crazy this year as he did last year. He did schedule some solid teams, but he didn't run through the gauntlet like he did last year where he screwed himself out of an opportunity. So if he can go undefeated in the MAC, I think he's really going to have a good shot at reaching the playoffs and probably being the number one Power 5 team. Group of five teams.
Group of five. Yeah, I know. I do the same thing all the time. I'm looking at a team that you're familiar with, Fresno State. You know, AU Chase has got to be making you proud because he's off to a really, really nice start. 4-0, got that first conference win under his belt. And obviously, Big Z returning at San Diego State. That's going to be probably a crash course between those two teams. But one team that I think some people are sleeping on, and maybe some aren't, I think a lot of people do like this guy, and he's a really, really good player. But in that same conference as ECU with Pat is Sammy, who is 3-1 and who has also challenged himself to play a tougher out-of-conference schedule. I think he whipped up pretty good on Maryland, who is off to a nice start, and only losses is one close loss so far. So I really like Tulane right now. Yeah, I don't know if a team like Sam Houston State out of Conference USA can you know, make it, if you will. Joker's great. I've played against him in some scrims. Really talented player, and obviously, you know, outscoring opponents, you know, 94-34 through three games is pretty darn impressive. But you know, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. Like obviously, and I'm kind of switching gears here, but I'm thinking about undefeated teams, and we've had a few the past couple of seasons. You know, multiple the past couple of seasons coming out of the regular season, and I just don't know if we're gonna see that this year. Maybe Jiggy has what it takes. I know. I mean, he's the best player in the league, back to back champion. He's in the SEC now, taking on that challenge. But already we're pretty low on undefeated teams, and you're just going to see a lot of these teams play each other and kind of knock each other down a peg. So I have a feeling that this year we may not even see an undefeated team, which it is really, really difficult to do anyways in the NDL, but we usually get one or two. So very interested to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, because, I mean, the SEC and SEC, you've got Big Mike down there. You've got Jiggy. You've got DK. And you've got Luis at Arkansas, who's already taken a loss, but he's playing really, really well. You know, Bucknut has only played two games, so we haven't really gotten off to his season. Vegas has already lost a game. I mean, the league is stacked. Yeah. I am very glad I don't play in that league. I would probably just put my sticks down and be like, here, have fun against the computer. They'd probably do a better job than I would. It's going to be a war of attrition. And depending on how schedules play out, you know, I think the one thing that helps both Jiggy and Big Mike is that they don't play each other in the regular season.
Right.
And I think those two have what it takes to go undefeated. But to do that, Big Mike's going to have to beat Tennessee. He's going to have to beat Kentucky. He's going to have to beat Georgia. He's going to have to beat Texas. He's going to have to beat LSU. I mean, that is just a stupid, stupid schedule. And then, you know, Oklahoma doesn't have it much easier. They've got to play Texas. They've got to play Alabama still. They've got to play South Carolina. They've got to play LSU. So it's going to be extremely difficult for either one of them to get through that whole thing without taking a loss. But if anybody can do it, I do think it's those two. Looking around the rest of it, I think whoever wins the UCF Colorado game, which I believe is getting played tonight, if I'm not mistaken, or no, Thursday night.
Yeah.
Right. I think whoever wins that game has a good shot at going undefeated. I play both of those teams, unfortunately, so I'm not thrilled. But, you know, what Smitty has done with that triple option, I ran some triple option in a cup game and some offline dynasty stuff, and it's fun, man. And if you can master it, it is so difficult to stop. And it with the speed he's got, what he's doing with his rushing attack is ridiculous. I don't know if Colorado can't beat him. I don't see a team on there unless he screws up and makes a mistake that can. Mm-hmm. And then Colorado with, you know, two of the best players in the game and Kennedy having that team for the second year in a row. I think, again, whoever wins that game to me does go undefeated on the regular season.
Yeah, that's a good call out. And I just want to say, screw you, Smitty, for just having a ton of success with a team that I had not much success with, making me look bad, you jerk. No, but he is like, when I had UCF, I knew running the ball was kind of the calling card for them. KJ Jefferson stinks. Sorry, Arkansas fans and Razor.
But he's not even using him.
Yeah, I haven't really looked at his stats, I'm not going to lie, but I just know he has got three running backs who are all really fast, or two really fast running backs. He's got a power running back, some really fast receivers as well. So I haven't really watched him play hand up, but I have seen some of the results in both the Blitz, the Cup, and the regular season. And man, he's really found a team that like kind of knows how to use, right? And that triple option, that flex bone is tough. And I was actually playing him in a scrim. We played Army Navy because he was actually thinking about drafting Navy. And I kind of shut him down the first half. And then the second half was a whole different story. I think he ended up beating me like 31-17 or something like that. But yeah, that's a good call out. This conference, no offense to anybody else in this conference, but I think that's kind of the two dog race. And then, you know, I forgot, Jason, you play both of them. So that's going to be tough because if you don't win one of those games, you probably won't have a chance to be in the conference championship game. Because I don't think.
Oh, I'm not beating either one of them. Let's just we can end that conversation right there. I barely beat Georgia Southern last night, so it's so weird. I guess it's because of the whole thing of having a 10-win goal. You play so much tighter and you play not to lose, and you know that's exactly how you lose. With Cal, it was like I got a 4-win goal. I'm just gonna go out here and chuck the ball around, and if I throw a pick, I throw a pick.
Yeah,
it's like pucker time playing with Utah. But No, you look at his stats, it's absurd. Penny Boone, Ja'Kari Brown, and his quarterback, and RJ Harvey all have between 31 and 38 carries. And Harvey's run for 588 yards on 38 yep. carries.
Yeah,
he's thrown the ball 17 times in three games.
Yeah, he's
just running up and down left and right, and I think he just scored another rushing touchdown, even if he's not playing.
Yeah, RJ Harvey is a fun player to run with in this game. I probably should have used him a lot more than I did. Yeah, that'll be a fun conference to keep an eye on. One storyline I think we are kind of missing on, and I just really thought of, is in the ACC. I'm looking at the two top teams, the number 11 team, Clemson, in El Jefe, then number 13, Louisville, in, I know, boo, right, Jason? Louisville, MJ Kemp. Those are two, like, best buds, I'm pretty sure. I know they're younger. I think they're, like, high school kids, seniors, I think they said. That's a cool little storyline. I think they play each other in the regular season, but I don't know if they purposefully, you know, chose teams that were in the same conference so that they could, you know, have this collision course or this opportunity maybe to run into each other a couple of times and vie for playoff spots. But that's kind of a cool storyline that I want to monitor throughout the season. And then you mentioned it too. I'm looking at Stanford off to a really nice start, 2-0. I mean, I know it's only two games, but that was a team last year that got everyone turning their heads and looking at that Notre Dame upset. And then the rest of this conference, you know, it's kind of a lot of meh, and no offense to anybody, but I'm just looking at the records, and you got 1-2, 1-3, you know, 2-2, 2-3. So we'll see. I mean, it's a long season, and we've seen teams, you know, start out 0-2 or 1-2 and all of a sudden go on this run throughout the season and find themselves sitting at, you know, 8-2 or 8-3 with a chance going into that last game to maybe sneak into a conference championship.
Yeah, part of me wonders if I made the mistake leaving Cal. I was trying to hopefully get Clemson. I was just a little bit short on points. But part of me wonders if I should have gone back to Cal, because it looks like I could have made another run this season possibly with that team. But the ACC is a little bit down compared to last year. It was ultra competitive. A lot more losses already than what we saw last year. But I got to say, you know, it is good seeing Syracuse sitting at 2-2. Makes you wonder if Mark finally got some of the things that he was demanding from the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, there was another update right before, or I guess right after that first block of the season. I'm glad you mentioned Cal. That's one that I'm really happy to see. U.S. Marine having a nice start to the season, really pushed himself in the non-conference, playing A&M in Oregon. Obviously, the big win against A&M, I think, again, got some people looking like, oh, wow, you know, they might be a player as well.
Calgarithm got him.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think the only other really big conference we have not touched on yet is the Big Ten. This conference had quite a bit of turnover. Obviously, I think the top dogs are still there with Shell and Wilds. But yeah, let's break down this conference and look into it a little deeper. Obviously, you know, Shell, I just called him out in the chat like an hour ago saying, I called him Eeyore because he's always been like the, oh, I'm not very good. You know, he always kind of, and I'm sorry, Shell, you don't sound like that, I don't think, but that's always been like the, oh, I stink, I'm not very good. And he's nearly put up 175 points so far in four games, 3-0 on the road, 4-0 overall, taking care of business. I know that there was that cup loss early. Actually, I think there was two cup losses early, but it looks like he's back and running. So, Jason, what do you think about the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even seen a game played yet for Ohio State, so we don't know how they're going to do. Wisconsin's sitting at 3-1. Mm-hmm. Penn State is 1-2 right now, but, you know, and Nidler's done really well with that team. I think he'll be fine. Iowa, obviously, staying with Iowa was a shock, him going back there and taking them to go 4-0. Oregon 4-0. I mean, you've got the cream rising to the top as usual. The Michigan 1-4, again, going back to what we talked about earlier, is what just shocks me, because that's a team that I expected. You know, Michigan's not the greatest team on paper, but I expected that we would see, you know, a more competitive team. And if they're not up there near the top, it just makes you wonder how competitive some of those big games down the stretch are going to be. But, you know, Shell's got so much speed with that Oregon team. It's not fair. I think he's figured out, you know, there's this thing about second season that, you know, a lot of guys have talked about. And I think there is something to it when you learn your players. Cause I know for me with Cal, it took half a season for me to be like, okay, this is what these guys do well. This is what they don't do well. This is who I need to move into this spot and have in this situation. And I think having that familiarity from the start of a season, that second year, it just makes you a better player. And I think that's what we're seeing with Shell.
See, I think you go it, or I think you go it. I think you see it go two ways. And if you guys hear me just stumble over my words like an idiot, it's because I probably only get about 2 hours of sleep a night currently. I have a one-year-old who just is teething like crazy and up all the time. But one thing about the second season comment is I feel like it goes one of two ways. One, you see people excel and go crazy and have an awesome season. Or you see people overthink it, or it just kind of crumbles in that second season. And I say that with a team like SMU, where it's like, oh, wow, they were in that conference championship game. They were, you know, I think, what, 8-4, 9-3 last season, something like that. And now you see him sitting at 1-3, and it's like, oh, you know, and I'm not saying he's overthinking it. I haven't watched one of his games. I haven't looked at any stats. But I just think sometimes you see that, and I don't know if it's like a little bit of pressure because, oh, you know, I had a great season, and I'm sticking with my team, and we're going to do better this year. And then, you know, one or two bounces or games don't go your way, and now you're kind of scrambling of like, well, shoot, now I got to try to get back to 500, and I got to try to make a run in the conference. So it's always interesting to see how that shakes out. You know, I think a surprise to me in this conference is Nebraska. You know, MGR got his team, which is awesome. I don't know their win goal. I don't think it's super high. So I think, you know, even if he, you know, makes a bowl game or kind of goes, you know, 6-6, 7-5, maybe even on an 8-4 run here, he'll be able to retain them and keep them going into next year, which is huge because obviously they're probably going to be a better team next year. But, you know, I know how great he was at Memphis. He was in that college football playoff conversation for a couple seasons. And, you know, you get to your team that you love and care about so much. And, you know, sometimes maybe the pressure hits or it's, you know, not quite what you thought it was going to be. So that was a little bit surprising to me. I thought that would be a team that would be in the top of the conference. And who knows, they're 1-1 in conference play, so they're not out of it yet. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to note too, though. You know, one of those losses was to Jiggy by 12 points.
Right. That was a great game.
So that's a game that's not going to hurt him because that's a 90 versus an 87. Notre Dame shutting him out 31-0 surprised me, and that one would be a half win for him. And then obviously the loss at Purdue. That's one of those that, you know, when you're trying to keep your team, you just cannot afford to lose that kind of game. If you lose a game where it's a half win, that's fine. When you lose a game where your team is 5 points better than the other one, that's one of those that sits with you and it makes you wonder as you get closer to the end of the season, is that game going to cost me my team?
Yeah, glad you brought up Purdue because I play him in like 30 minutes, but also you look at his schedule and Outlaw, I think for those who were around this league years and years ago, he was a feared player. I think everyone kind of knew who he was, national championship kind of guy, you know, always competing, one of the top players in this league. And, you know, obviously years pass by and you start playing the game again and you just got to get used to it. And I think, you know, 2-2, of course, like not anything crazy, but some really quality wins and some close games. You know, very interested to see 1-0 in conference, obviously everything to play for Ed, but that's going to be a fun one to keep up with. We already talked about Michigan, obviously a new owner in Illinois just took over off to a nice hot start. Ohio State, see it. Hopefully he starts getting some games in. We all know what he brings to the table. But yeah, this is going to be interesting because I think Oregon and Iowa are kind of your top dogs that everyone expects to be there toward the end of the year. But every season in these big conference races, there's a third or fourth team that's just hanging around toward the end that's got a chance to play for one of these conference championship games. So
I do see a team that's sitting at 3-1. In the conference.
I don't see one.
They're ranked 21st.
Oh, the team that's fourth to last in the conference standings right now, that team?
Well, they're 3-1, you know, and they've yeah. they've got a win over Kansas, they got a win over Missouri, they got a win over NC yeah. State. Those aren't marquee wins, but they're solid wins.
Yeah.
You know, what are your thoughts on that team?
The team's coach is a mental midget. I'll just say that.
Well, it's because he's only getting 2 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah, that's probably part of it. no, I mean, I think I was in the chat over the week just saying that, you know, having fun, having a respectable season, but I threw 8 interceptions against USC the other day. And credit to Greedy, man. He was locked down. He was playing man. He was playing zone. My quarterback, I switched quarterbacks. Each of them threw 4 picks. I think that's probably the first time that's ever happened in the NDL. But I was just trying to do whatever I could to get back in the game. And my defense actually played really, really well. He had a short field every time because I kept throwing a pick around the 40, 50 yard line. But no, I mean, hopefully I can stick in it and bounce back here after that absolute embarrassment. That had to be my worst NDL game I've ever played in my life. I can't imagine playing a worse game than that. But
well, if I can give you a little bit of advice, I've found that what helps me avoid throwing picks is to throw to the guys on my team and not the guys on the other team.
I had someone chatting me during the game being like, dude, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. And like, and this is a mentor, a friend of mine that I talk to every once in a while, and we talk ball and NDL and get advice from. But my first drive, I ran the shit out of the ball and 7-0. You know, I probably should have just ran the ball the entire game. I mean, not entire, but passed a few times here and there. And I was trying to prove to myself, like, no, I can throw. I can do this. And it just didn't work out very well. But I'm glad I can have a laugh about it, you know.
Sounds like you went full 10 cup. You're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to show them I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I call it full tilt. It was like you're at the blackjack table and you just keep losing and losing and losing. And I'm going to double. I'm going to put more money. I'm going to go back to the ATM. it was one of those moments. Gamble responsibly, folks, right? 1-800-GAMBLER if you need help. but no, I mean, this is the thing, too. And I've noticed this. There's been some, I don't want to say issues, but, you know, we've lost a few coaches. There's been some moments this season where, like, yeah, we want to take this seriously and you know, you want to compete, but, you know, it's not the end of the world if you lose a game. And I really hope, I know I see some teams who are 1-3, 0-4. It's like, listen, just have fun. Like, we made it through the first 3 seasons of this game back for the first time in 11 years. The NDL has been awesome. This community is awesome. And so, you know, I wanted to be pissed off. I wanted to be all down about it. But I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have fun. It's fun to be here and play this game again. So that was my take on it.
Yeah, and you know, like I said earlier, it's playing with a better team. It's fun to have that better team and be like, okay, I can do things now that I couldn't before. But it comes with so much pressure that, you know, for me, I'm almost wishing I had just stayed at Cal because I had more fun because there were no expectations. You know, whereas with this one, you know, I'm in a tight game last night and I just start seeing the watch count on my stream, on my TV, every time somebody else popped in to watch. And I'm like, never had this many people watching one of my games before. And it's because they're waiting to see if there will be this massive upset. And it took some of the fun out of it for me. Cause I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh my God, I can't lose this game. You know, at the end of the day, I don't expect to be at Utah more than one season. I'm going to get to a point where I'm going to lose a game I shouldn't. And maybe then the pressure will go off because I'll be like, oh, already lost them. Let's just go out and do whatever. But it's almost more fun for me to have a team where I don't have any expectations or any pressure because I can do just that. I can just go out and play and have fun. And if I lose, I lose. Who cares? You know, I'm not going to sit here and compete for a title. I'm here to have fun. I'm here to play and be in this awesome community that I've been a part of off and on for, you know, 15 years.
Right.
You know, I'm not here for the game. I'm here for the community. I'm here for the camaraderie ship and the relationships. You know, me and Cedar are talking about getting together later this year to go to a comedy show. So, I mean, these are relationships and friendships that you've built up over the years. If I lose a game, I'm not going to sit here and get all pissy with somebody about it, you know, and for the newer guys, hopefully you're getting to that point. I know there are some guys in this league that are really damn good at this game. that know it inside and out. And
yeah, blows my mind.
You know, I played one of them last night. He literally, it didn't matter what I called, he's sitting there calling three hot routes pre-snap and picking me apart for 5-10 yards a chunk. And I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing wrong here? But, you know, yeah, it's one of those guys that I know next year is going to have a better team, and he's going to be one of these guys we're talking about as a possible title contender. So, you know, for the bulk of us, we're just here to have fun. We're here to shoot the shit in the Discord and play a game that, that means a lot to us. You know, don't take it too seriously. At the end of the year, yeah, there's like six guys that can realistically win it each season based on how good they are combined with their team. The rest of us are here to fill a amazing league that normally has 134 coaches, which, while I'm thinking about it, if you know anybody, we're looking for new owners. We need to recruit some more guys. So if you know anybody, send them this way. But yeah, I mean, just go out and have fun and stay within the rules, respect your opponent, and remember what this whole thing is about at the end of the day.
Yeah, and this is probably the first podcast for a good amount of coaches, because we do have a lot of new ones that they're hearing. But if there's one thing I think you should really do, I guess this season is probably your only chance, unless for some reason we do a fourth season.
I'm almost certain we are.
I don't know if that's a great idea. I digress. What I would really challenge you to figure out over your first few seasons in the NDL is where do you fit in? And I don't mean that in like socially or like in the chats, but like I think over the years I've kind of realized I probably fit in at a team like Wisconsin, who is not going, and one, I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm playing with a team that I'm familiar with and I like, but for me, I'm not going to win a national championship. I'm probably 99% not going to make the playoff, unless I get super lucky or something crazy happens. But I like playing with a middle of the pack team in a power conference where I can have fun and compete with other teams, you know, other power teams, right? And I get to play Shell every year, and it's really fun because I get to sometimes keep it close against him and sometimes get my butt kicked. You know, I get to play Wilds every year where, you know, we played a 24-21 really fun game last year. Like, you know, it's that, that's where I stand. That's where I am now. For you, for not you, Jason, but anyone else in there, like you may get a smaller conference team and be awesome with that team and go 10-2, 11-1. And that might be where you fit in or where you want to be. Right. Cause like, you may go 11-1 at Middle Tennessee State, but you jump up to, you know, a power conference and, you know, at Auburn, and boom, you're, you know, 6-6 or you're 5-7 or whatever. And it's like, well, shoot, you know, and that, not that you have to only stay in small conferences, but I think once you kind of find where you fit in or what your preference is on, do I want to be in the MAC? Do I want to be in these smaller conferences, or do I want to try to compete with the big boys? You know, and you stay true to that, you'll kind of figure out, you know, where you want to be. And I think it'll make you appreciate and love this league more. So that's just kind of my two cents on it.
Couldn't agree more.
I had another thing. What was my other one? I lost it. I had another thing, a second topic that I was going to jump into there, but no, we're rolling here. So we won't go through every single conference. I know we've talked power conferences today, but you know, Jason, let's just kind of give some predictions here over the next, not next couple of weeks, but just give us some bold predictions that you see that could come to fruition here in season 31.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, I think whoever wins UCF Colorado this week, I think takes head of the Big 12 and wins the Big 12. That I think that's the biggest prediction I have to make. And obviously that's somebody that impacts based on conference play and my schedule. I just, those two for me are the cream of the crop in the Big 12. They're two of the better players in this league. I think that got shown last year with both of them making the playoff. But I think whoever wins that game, and I'm going to try my best to get to watch it, I think sets themselves up for a undefeated season and possibly a top four automatic bye in the playoffs. outside of that, you know, the SEC, we talked about it earlier. Again, I think you're looking at potentially an undefeated or one loss season for both Jiggy at Oklahoma and Big Mike at Florida. And I think my boldest prediction is whoever wins the SEC out of those two wins the national title. You know, we've talked before how good Big Mike is. When he got Florida, I knew it was over for a lot of people, because it's one thing to be playing with Missouri or playing with a team that you don't really like or don't really care about. And Alabama, as good as they are, Milroe is so inconsistent. He's got a team he knows inside and out on the digital gridiron and off of it. Mm-hmm. Jiggy's got a team that has just stupid speed at wide receiver. And he's changed up his playbook to take advantage of that. Those two are just, they're an elite level player. They're an elite level mind when it comes to knowing this game. And, you know, Jiggy having a team that is much more balanced and honestly has more weapons across the board, and Big Mike having a team that he's determined he's not going to lose. For me, it's a two horse race for who's going to win the title between those guys.
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to say I think the SEC is obviously the best conference in terms of teams, talent, coaches, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to make the bold prediction that the national champion will not come from the SEC this year. It is going to be an absolute grind getting through that conference. And I know it's a virtual gridiron. These teams aren't going to be fatigued or tired, but whatever it is. But I just do think there is something to be said about, you know, having to beat up on each other, play against some of the best coaches, and maybe the SEC is riding a little high in the playoffs, and you know, like in real life, they win all these hypothetical matchups and they are the superior conference, and then they kind of falter in the playoffs. And I think that may happen this season. I really like Clemson. I really like Louisville in the ACC. Obviously, UCF is going to be a force. You mentioned Colorado earlier. I think Shell's going to bounce back and be in the playoff this year out of Oregon. I do think there's enough dogs and really good players out there that are not in this conference, or in the SEC, I should say, that are going to compete and even win a national championship. So that's going to be my bold prediction.
And by the way, since we started our podcast, Tennessee is now sitting at 5-1 on the season with a win 31-14 over Arkansas and Luis. And Ohio State is on the board 59-30 over Air Force. So the Buckeyes are no longer 0-0 on the season. So, you know, they are back in contention for the Big Ten.
So all the haters can stop talking. No, it is a... We're only, what, 2.5-3 weeks into it. I mean, I say only. Like, that is plenty of time to play games, but, you know, people have lives and travel and work and all that sort of stuff, and it'll pick up. We see it every year. I mean, it seems to be the same guys every year, or I should say every season. We see someone by block 3 or 4 with 0 games, and next thing you know, they're 5-0 or 6-0, and it's going to happen, and we're going to have to catch everyone up to speed on how that happens so fast. So, I'm looking forward to it. Any closing words, closing statements, Jason, for our first edition back on the podcast?
First of many. To that point about it being, you know, a couple weeks in, don't forget, get your Beefy Cup games in. I believe the deadline is this Saturday. Make sure you get those last Beefy Cup games in as we get ready to enter block 4 and we get our bracket. So, very proud. I've gone undefeated in my pool for the first time ever. It helps that I got a very, very fortunate draw. I know some people did not. So, there was that, very well talked about group of death that I believe Akron was, I think it was Akron that was in that one, that essentially was the white girl on the couch. If you've seen that meme,
so that picture, the picture in my head after you said that is just, funny. If you know,
I haven't
you know.
Even looked. Yeah, I haven't even looked to see how that group turned out. We should probably go and look. Is that, for those that are somehow not familiar, you had three of the best teams in the entire game. You had Georgia, Colorado, and Alabama all in the same Beefy Cup group. It looks like Georgia went 3-0, Colorado went 2-1. So those two are advancing. And poor Akron got outscored 119-24. So the meme is accurate.
Yeah, it's funny, and I feel like every year I get pretty fortunate with my groups. I've advanced for the third straight season in the Beefy Cup, but I always play a really good team in my first round and get my butt kicked. This year, I'm looking at the bracket, and the team that I would play, I looked at their group standings to see, like, oh, who might I play? All four teams have not played a Beefy Cup game. Little bit annoying. Like, I know some people don't love the Beefy Cup. It's one of those hot topics in the NDL. Just play your damn Beefy Cup games, guys. Like, it's a good practice opportunity, if anything. I know I don't make the rules here, and I'm not an authoritarian by any means, but I don't know. Like, am I even going to play anybody? If they're all 0-0 and no one's playing games, am I going to play someone in the first round? I don't know. I guess we'll see who gets the sim and who advances. But yeah, yes, get those games in, Beefy Cup and regular season. We'll have a lot more, not a lot more. We'll have our weekly show happening. We're excited to get this back on. Again, sorry it's been so long. You know, just shit happens, life happens. But I'm excited to be back, Jason, and I hope you are too.
I am, and hopefully you can get a little bit more sleep here upcoming.
I hope so. Instead of going to sleep at 9:24 p.m. Central, I'm going to try to play a game. And this is probably going to go well. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay tuned for more. We'll cover some more Group of Five conference action and teams, give those teams some love and some spotlight. We'll have Pardon, Pardon the Disruption. I almost said Pardon the Interruption. Coming out here soon, and then we'll have Game Day for next week. Will be released here in the next couple of days. So thanks for tuning in. You guys have a great night.